orders. Today is Thursday, April 7th. It is 1:47 in the afternoon. And as an outside example, we delay the meeting about 15 minutes to give members a chance to grab lunch. Many of us are in committees and jobs at 5:30 today. So I'd like to welcome Vice Chair Senator Diesel, Senate President Kevin Minor, and Senator Stevens. Thank you for being here today. And I want to thank the Secretary Kerry and then also the Eduardo Alvarez for helping us make this meeting possible. I do want to mention that in addition to today's meeting, we are meeting tomorrow at 1:30, so that gives an additional committee meeting this week. Just wanted to make those aware of that. So we have 5 bills on the agenda today, and the intent is to move 2 of them and then have the first hearings on 3 of the bills. So today we have Senate Bill 193, exemption for small power plants, House Bill 268, the independent valuation, House Bill 305, recreational vocational training exemption, Senate Bill 118, Indoor Land Surveys, and then House Bill 314, Alaska, Regional Economic Assistance Program, Extended Orders. So with that, we will start with Senate Bill 193. The intention is to close public testimony today. We left that open. And adopt the committee substitute. If there's questions, and then we'll do a little of the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the committee adopt the CS for Senate Bill 193, where Track LS 1513 / 12 as the working document.
And I will object for the sake of discussion. And I invite my listening hour to share the new elements of the bill or teach elements for the community.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was recommended for the record last November, staff to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. And Madam Chair, the committee substitute makes one change on section 181, line 10. It deletes January 1st, 2020. And the effect of this bill, Madam Chair, is to remove the sunset date on the exemption of small power plant or small power production plants and facilities. 65 megawatts of generation from regulation by the RCA. As a little context, Madam Chair, the bill has introduced an extended this exemption over a period of time in consultation with the stakeholders and the sponsor. The CS simply removes the sunset. Exemption was originally enacted in 2010 to line up with a variety of federal tax credits. During that time, the legislature was considering several different energy bills and crafting a statewide energy policy. This exemption has been very successful, and it's sought in this CS basically to remove the sunset, basically allowing this exemption to continue. The legislature certainly can revisit it by legislation in the future. The rationale for this, Madam Chair, I'm talking with the sponsor. Currently, the state of Alaska actually regulates power projects of this size at a higher rate than the federal government. Under the federal law, known as PURPA, basically the federal government doesn't really regulate, as the RCA does, power plants under 80 megawatts. So what this does is it initiates permanent this exemption in state law. This will provide for just a little bit more certainty for independent power producers, allow for long term planning. And this increased competition and also reduce rates for consumers in the market. That consists of the changes in the chair. Or excuse me, the changes in the CS motion.
Okay. And I did want to mention that this bill is introduced by Senator McGuire. And just for the sake of those listening online, the title is an act extending the exemption from regulation by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska for certain facilities and plants generating energy from renewable energy resources. So with that, I will remove my objection to the committee substitute if you have further objection. Okay, seeing none, the committee substitute is adopted. and on applications of letters about that we do have some individuals, actually one of them here, Jeff Mitchell, the American Power Producers Association, and there are questions. So are there any questions? Mr. Flower from Homer, are you online?
Hello.
I move the CS of Senate Bill 193, version now S15-13, by Special Telephone Committee, with individual limitations and attached to the bill.
Is there any objection? Please say that the bill is moved. We'll take a brief recess.
I'm anticipating that the total for the most that the the Asian growth population continue to be updated. It's an additional market adjustments for non-cash adjustments are then be triggered or will soon be triggered in securing that quarterly financial statement. And what those are starting to do is they're starting to bring real fluctuations in the continuing net income, not on the real cash income on the employee, but on this adjusted net income. So what we'd like to do is just add a couple of things to that exclusion so again, we can get back to more true accurate numbers for the company to demand. Because for those market adjustments, this is the first time on the graph that to occur. And then also previously, we were seeing the self-price that if in fact they received a appropriation from an outside source, it could be federal funds, it could be a state general fund appropriation, but it was the source of money to invest in their project that didn't come from the income stream. On the website, you said disregard that when it comes to net income. Otherwise, what would happen is the legislation would give $300 to the investment project. That would have to come out of his books, and it would come out of his books as net income. And then the IRS did make a calculation, would then feel obligated to turn around and get that money out to the state and bear it. The legislature said, well, you know, when you get an outside source of money from outside your revenue stream to make a project, disregard that, don't artificially spike that income. What's not included at that time is that for current time, some of those outside sources of money spent on, say, an EIS starting to investigate a project. So a dollar is dropped into an asset, and then if that credit does not move forward, eventually it has to write that asset off the books, and they do that by deducting it from net income. So in those limited examples, the outside source of money could artificially suppress the net income. And so we just felt that we're supposed to disregard on the outside, not spike artificially spike it, and then it has to potentially write it on its own itself, don't artificially pull the net income. So that really explains the two problems that we're trying to fix. I believe you have an abbreviated slide packet that is a moving form of the overall packet that we think should be used. On page 2 of this, we discussed those market adjustment valuation adjustments, and on slide 3, a description of how those adjustments can start to swing the net income unnecessarily. And one of the concerns that we have is that the yellow line that's depicted on page 3 of the handout indicates the impact of GASB Rule 31. As additional GASB rules come into place, if they don't come into the same economic dynamics that drive GASB, those rules are going to start stacking up on top of each other. And so that swing is going to get larger and larger, creating more and more uncertainty to the demand over what we believe unnecessarily. And so we'd like to just get back to the red line, which is the treatment income, and calculate the limit on that. And then, page 5, we just have a depiction then of one of the instances where
it's important to read page 5 because it seems that the uncritical section of the GP is a lot confusing and that it might be missing.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On page 5 of the abbreviated slide packet, we've got a depiction of an incident where we made $1 million to this new project. For some reason, the project doesn't go forward. They don't eventually then have to take back all of these books. And we don't want to artificially suppress the dividend and really impacts them. So we really need to balance that we're trying to correct with this legislation.
Thank you very much for that explanation and refresher. I actually do have a question related to page 2, starting on block 109 and continuing down. Can you explain? So this is just simply can you explain to the committee why we're adding the additional definitions to project development and then let us know what AS 4488-900 is?
Okay, yes, if you can look up above on page 295, it does not exclude those losses when you write something off that can be resulted from an outside source on a project or development. And so, because we have multiple programs, where that money could come into the PDA, come into the SAF fund, could come into the Art Infrastructure Fund, could come into the Youth Revolving Loan Fund, as your work is written off, it would be one of those tools. So what we're doing is just adding project development and then listing those different financing tools that it has.
Okay, so those capital letters basically are associated with the specific funds that it has, as we're aware. And there's another bill, and would that be added in here too, that would pass?
If that other bill were to pass, creating a red card, we would then potentially want to see that back in too.
I'm sorry, it's getting a little bit off topic. That's interesting here.
Well, that's a very astute question.
Are there any other questions or committee members?
Thank you, Chair. And Mr. Chair, I apologize for the question last time, but what impact does this have on
the community? We anticipate that, again, if you look at the slide number 3, I think if you can see the impact from that in Rule 31, sometimes the rule of application artificially spikes on the net income, and sometimes it artificially suppresses it. Over time, those two things cancel out. So, we only anticipate that if we're going to increase the dividend, it's going to get some more of a kind of uncertainty around an expectation of what the dividend is likely to be.
Thank you.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, the issue with dividend, are you saying that you think that the narrowing of the spacing, why is that significant that now he's so fortunate?
Well, right now he tries to carry down the days of being a dividend. The statutory correction is that we're two payment and out of our net on a preliminary basis, between 25% and 50%. I think historically, if you look at the other dividend fee, it's been about 47%. So we're trying to share benefit from the paying price as much as we can with the state treasury. We have used what has been upwards of $29 million the next year because of some of these impacts, and then it's cut in half. And so what we'd like to do is just bring a little bit more predictability so that you, even with that revenues, although it has been moving about that much, you may be look at my hand and say, well, this is what we would probably get expect from you in a good point for our activity, which is treasury on basis, with a little bit more certainty.
And then one final question, the suggestion that came in the bill is a big conflict with the early joint of the board.
That she came from our accounting shop to the board, and Ms. Joanne was the one that they really went back to the charge.
And he's online. Are there any questions before Mr. Carrier or Ms. Joanne?
I'm sure that you have a question.
Thank you. announcement both at that coalition, I think it's the year fiscal year in 2018, and it is going to be kind of a foundation for all of our efforts regarding down and payment that we have to do with, and that with schools and the same type of a deal is
Exemptions from their learning feedback. A does not require a professional or academic.
occupational license under Alaska Statute 8. An example of some of the professions and occupations that are required under Alaska Statute 8 would be things like barbers and hairdressers, dental examiners, veterinary examiners, and things of that sort. B. Provide training primarily for recreational purposes. And C. At the advanced training level, prepares program graduates to teach or instruct in that field. Section 2 of Alaska Statute 14 and 48.030, under the subsection. This requires educational programs or institutions that are exempt under A5 to provide students with written notice before enrollment that the program or institution is exempt from state authorization requirements. This simply means that the program or institution that is exempt must provide a disclaimer to the students prior to them signing up for the program. In Section 3, adds new paragraphs providing definitions of terms occupational, recreational, and vocational. And this language is added to clarify the meaning of these terms that is used in Section 1 and Section 2 of the bill. Occupational simply means ever relating to practically as though as a hobby or for primarily recreational purposes. Recreational simply means an activity that is engaged in for personal enjoyment, creative enrichment, or one's enhanced well-being. And vocational means ever relating to a skill or trade that is pursued as a career or for a means of gainful employment.
Thank you very much. I actually do have a question. So on page 2, beginning of line 5, and we're talking at the very general level of the advanced training level prepares program graduates to teach or instruct in that field. So how does this apply to, say, for example, coaches who might need specific training perhaps for, their employee? Education that is done at a higher level, so post high school and things of that sort. So I don't believe it would apply to best of my knowledge to a youth soccer program. And so you said that it applies to activities that are not a career, and it seems like a coach would answer for that, a career soccer coach, doing those for you. Maybe that's something we can help clarify.
We do have a member from the Alaska Commission of Secondary Education here who might be able to provide that answer.
Thank you. Also, next, so are there any further questions or comments on the center statement?
Yeah, I'm sorry, can you just give us some examples of the same program you're hearing that? What else can we maybe exempt with that?
Some of the other programs that we would, think would be exempt from this would be things like karate or Zumba or other training courses and things like that. I think that the representative from the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education would be the best to answer that question.
Thank you very much. Great talk.
Thank you very much.
Yes, we'll call up Stephanie Butler from the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. I'm relative to the coach question. If I understand it correctly, a dad or a volunteer looking to advance skills in order to assist you with not subject to operational regulations, and someone looking to teach or coach in a school would need to meet all the requirements of that school that would be outside of the program of the commission that is catered by.
And thank you for that clarification. Okay.
Okay.
this opportunity to learn more about yoga since you wanted to start our session, so let me know. Is I know that is it for relaxation or is it for stretching your muscles or both?
It is all encompassing. More than just stretching. For example, my blood pressure is just testing my body, it's 160, has always been high. So the benefits are system wide. Relaxation, easing pain, dealing with depression. I would say it is everything, but it is something that is incredibly beneficial for people's health and well-being. And for example, people that often go to yoga and then just show us because they work out, they don't go for a while, their coworkers are like, when are you going back to yoga? I think it enriches people's lives in a very dramatic and awesome, wonderful way. Is the community just in their way for yoga? Is it your community line? I will leave it up to you. If you are served by Kishnas in a position, I think that that would be a wonderful addition to your testimony and the long days of the study in yoga. I would offer one simple thing of just taking deep breathing cycles and the awareness of your breath, and that is a lot of separation between what's happening through yoga and stretching. If you're just getting all piece of stuff on that, it's much more about the breath. And, just to take breathing cycles that you're aware of and through those out through those, immediately can start to have a positive effect on someone's well-being. And there's lots of studies that show that this even helps with mental health. So is there as you breathe in and then hold your breath and then you're breathing out? Or is there a way to kind of prevent yes, even inhales, even exhales, and through the nose, no holding. I'm telling you, we're going to work on that in the practice. So just like smooth and even inhale and exhale. That alone is incredibly beneficial. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming to the Kennedy State. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for the
Thank you.
they have a letter in the room that I guess by a hospital nearby. Please see them, please call their testimony. And they will send us their signs, and there was a first hearing today, and Nick Bailey is tomorrow at 8 to hear it from this film. This is the first hearing of the bill in the committee of Lori Gisela testimony. I'm going to keep all the testimony open just because we don't have one person online to testify. So we're not going to turn over to my analyst and Ira. This is actually on my bill, so this Ira, because I'm also the committee, that would be great. Thank you.
Certainly, thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my Senato staff and Senator Costello, Act 118 creates a peer review alternative to the Department of Natural Resources, DNR's review of certain works related to the state of Alaska. The bill and state laws would now allow the administration to facilitate a peer review process of certain work for a subcommittee of the State Board of Registration of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. As we are aware of here in the past several years, the state of Alaska, through DNR and other offices, has worked to address a substantial backlog in processing permit applications. While funds appropriated in the budget have helped alleviate some systemic issues, and much more work is needed and limited funds are available for additional reforms in the department. Land surveyors and licensed professionals are held to high standards by both the state of Alaska and their peers through their licensing board. They have played an active role in enhancing the state's permitting process. What Senate 118 proposes is utilizing the technical expertise of land surveyors in the private sector as part of a permit review. Under the bill, the permit application submitted to DNR for survey work, applicants would have the option of going through the traditional departmental review or have their submissions analyzed by a subcommittee of three land surveyors, again, as part of the Board of Registration, Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. And I'll talk about the structural question in this moment, Madam Chair. The subcommittee would be organized by the Board, funded by program receipts from application fees, and comprised of professional surveyors who do not have a financial interest in the project. Under the bill, Madam Chair, DNR will retain the final decision-making authority on the accuracy of permit work that has been peer-reviewed and submitted to the state, and will also be held to stricter timelines in terms of turning work around, processing and timing the return for accuracy submittals. Senate Bill 18 is intended to provide an expedient alternative for permit applicants that can help advance development projects, but also easing the workload on the department. And budget pressures. I'm sure I might also add that I'd be happy to work through the bill. Our office has been actively working with stakeholders and also not just exploring this concept but refining the mechanics of it. We anticipate coming to a committee in a future hearing where the committee's objective takes a little bit more of an elegant approach to the mechanics of peer review. Initially, as drafted, this bill would use a subcommittee, as I mentioned, of the Board of Registration of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. Upon discussions with the department leaders, we found that that board is actually probably not the best program to use for a peer review subcommittee process. They primarily deal with licensing, and they're not solely limited to land surveyors, and they're actually located in the Department of Commerce, not DNR. So what we're working on it, and we're going to bring forward to the committee in the near future is a committee substitute that still retains the use of peer review as an alternative or an expedient alternative to departmental review, but solely keeps it within DNR's purview. and as a result, the Department of Commerce licensing boards and some of the other mechanisms that are usually involved in the permitting process. The Department of the Administration currently have some draft tips that we're working with them on, but I've also drastically changed the fiscal management structure of the concept that we've introduced today. And if you'd like, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to walk through the bill just generally and talk about the mechanics as introduced, but as you mentioned, we anticipate this concept to be refined and brought back before the committee at future date.
Mr.
Arlen,
I think actually
it
would be helpful to walk through this burden just because the concept will understandable and then we'll hear the committee substitute. Yes, all bills we first hear the original bill as introduced before we look at a committee substitute. So if you don't mind doing that.
Certainly, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to. My apologies for our formal section of our members' benefits. It's moving along through as the context reading, I think, would be adequate. And we'll provide, of course, direction of this at a future hearing. So Bill 118, Madam Chair, has several sections. The beginning of which enhancing the original concept of the bill, the authority of the State Board of Administration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. This is on page 1 of section 1, subsection 1 and 2, allowing the board to collect fees and set fees from licensees to finally provide for this peer review procedure. Continuing to page 2, Madam Chair. Section 2 helps clarify that information reviewed as part of this peer review process would be proprietary trade secrets. It would not follow under public records requests. In other words, if you're working on a project and going through some details as a private contractor, you ought to have peer review. Those aren't subject to requests that come as external work, but still being done as a creation. Section 3 of the bill, Madam Chair, this is on page 2, line 13, spells out the criteria for land surveyors who would serve on a subcommittee to do a peer review procedure, namely on lines 18 and 19, that surveyor could not be, first of all, they have to be a professional land surveyor, those are licensed by the state, but they must not be an employee of the Department of Natural Resources, and the surveyor does not have a significant financial interest in the project being reviewed. Section 4, Madam Chair, begins on the bottom of page 2 and continues on to page 3. This outlines the timeline that was envisioned for peer review from the applicant's choice of whether or not to go through the Department of Natural Resources or adopt or elect to have a peer review subcommittee review their work. It also gives on page 2 says that the committee notice after the department receives this information on top of the applicant on whether or not they wish to go through the board subcommittee. Then continuing on to subsection B on line 7, additional regulations that must be necessary to standards for peer review, the criteria and other things that can be established by the department. And finally, Madam Chair, this evening has been working with the department and trying to eliminate compromise in terms of respecting their role under the state's permanent authority. Subsection C on line 15, the department retains the authority to render a final decision on the accuracy of the survey referred to the State Board of Registration of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. Section 5 is primarily existing text. Deleted but not limited to on line 27. It continues on to page 4, the change being on lines 22 and 23. This adds providing for the peer review process and to the powers of the commission. And then, here in section 6 is transition regulations to help enact and establish this process. And those also are limited to 15, which is covered under section 7 on page 5. And also the immediate effective date of the bill, or excuse me, the effective date of the bill covered in section 8 on 1985 and January 1st, 2017. Like I said, after the this was brought forward by certain stakeholders, constituent senators that have worked in surveys and DNR and state permitting, there's there's a lot that can be done in the guidelines to help improve and enhance that. And this is platforms we're utilizing private sector professionals who are already licensed by the state of Alaska to help ease the pressure and workloads of the department. Survey work, I believe, there's about 25 different types of surveys that go to the Department of Natural Resources, and it's a comparatively small part of DNR's overall permitting portfolio. And so, again, this has brought forward the concept of using peer review as a little bit of a draw, but also as a way to use professionals and see if this can be a model that can have benefits and not only expediting review of these processes and ease the Department of Budget concerns. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much.
Any questions about the matter of science for you? I understand the backlog, and it makes sense to try and solve that. So, again, I'm part of the review, and you also have a peer review. Is there an appeal process? I mean, say you have not made the peer review, can you not get your peer review or can you go next level to the part of the review?
Through the chair, as I see this, much of that would likely be dealt with in a regulation by the department. Much of it is already an existing regulation. The work that would be done by peer review and surveys is largely to check for accuracy, correctness, not the overall yet or nay on the overall project current. So this is just one part of it. If you have a project, whatever it might be, having the survey work be peer reviewed would be just one part of that. And we can check with the Department of Budget the exact ranks and might even be on the books that would need to be added to address any kind of appeals, disputes, or other things if there's a difference amongst the professionals that are reviewing it.
So, if any of them would be peer reviewing the survey at this stage, and it's going to go ahead and you know, they selected to have it do the Department review.
The chair says, is that that's correct? Under Section 4, Subsection C of the bill, the final accuracy and the final determination, the final decision on the accuracy of the survey still rests with the department. Using peer review and using these professionals that are already licensed by the state of Alaska to do this work in the private sector is primarily run forward as a way to then help expedite and move these reviews forward to kind of tee up and help them.
Department's promulgation of regulations by being set the criteria by which these subcommittees would have to look at how the confines and boxes that they have to check in reviewing it.
Much of that, if there are clearly technical lapses, details out there, certainly it could be bounced back by the subcommittee level, but as right now would largely be determined by the department through regulation.
Thank you, Madam. I just want to make sure that knowing how big some of our work, you have peers that need you for some reason or another issues here for the hour after within that type of project. I want to make sure that there is a peer process here and the first level of peer review came through that project. That makes sense.
And we will, the department's going to be having a hearing on this bill so we can ask some of those questions that you brought up. I think it would be.
I can find out some information about other states comparatively. Well, in bringing forward this bill and in all of them to get some information, it was actually referred to us that the municipality of Anchorage actually has an option by which peer review can be brought forward to help. If there's a backlog or if there's a little bit of stopgap measures there. So the union Anchorage uses, not necessarily the subcommittee model, but utilizes peer review. But we'll certainly no problem to talk with the Department of Health and other states utilize trades as well.
Thank you.
in the mind, and maybe no one else is, how would these subcommittee members be selected?
Certainly, Senator Meyer, through the chair, they would have originated with the same board of registrars and architects and engineers and administrators, so they would primarily be also in this contract work through the MLACC board itself. So the board, when he oversees and has the list of licensed surveyors in Alaska, would basically offer work or bring together these subcommittees, the licensed surveyors that have the work, the soliciting work, are open for review, and basically respond to them kind of by the board. That is one of the things that we're working to refine and like the address from the CS. Again, what we envision the direction is built going is not having the Department of Commerce and a licensing board involved in at all. So that's something that's being refined.
Okay.
Thank you,
Dr. Thank you. As mentioned earlier, I'll open public testimony and keep it open for the seniors. If you have one individual online, I can welcome to John Kirk, calling in from Anchorage. Mr. Kirk, would you like to introduce yourself to the community and invite your comments on the panel, please?
Yes, Madam Chair, and community members, I appreciate the opportunity to comment. I'm a professional land surveyor and it's been 25 years in my surveyor in Alaska. And I appreciate the efforts to expedite any process. There's no doubt that faster is typically better. And I also recognize that this bill is evolving. So not all my comments might be applied to the final version. But this bill seems to provide the potential for surveys to receive substandard review. Reviews are where individuals, more often, on more than one expertise in matters related to the survey, consider the validity, thoroughness, and implications of a particular survey. This bill creates a path for a survey to bypass the review by those experts. NR has expertise, specific expertise, and exceeds what you can just pick out of any one, two, or three surveyors. But yeah, there's a lot of breadth in the field of surveying, and we usually have three surveyors who are very poorly qualified, even though they are licensed. Additionally, there is a 2-week timeline for it in our final decision in the bill, and that does not consider the size or complexity of the survey. The schedule would be inadequate for many surveys. Including surveys for projects currently under consideration, like the Christian Hydro Electric Project, any road project. Now, currently, most of those projects are currently going nowhere, but if this bill is implemented, becomes law, the law will be there when eventually similar projects are considered an undertaking. It means additional cumbersome legislation that really doesn't protect the public. County problems are the source of most people's expensive litigation, and I believe this bill sacrifices the best interest of the public and robust boundaries and sacrifices those for expediency. And believe speaking up to continue to augment the AR survey section. They have to take the case, they understand the law. And I think that would be better if this was faster, yes, but I think that going to peer review is harming the public and has strong potential to harm the public. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kerr. I took notes on your testimony and certainly consider that. I mean, if you are interested, you're more than welcome to provide written comments to my office also. Okay. Is there anybody in the room that just support on 718? We've seen that we will set this bill aside for further review. And as mentioned previously, we have a member of the Department of Natural Resources here at the next hearing for the bill. Our final bill on today's agenda is House Bill 314, I introduce by Representative Shelley Davis, Representative Davis, come forward. So the intention here is to hear from the bill sponsor, and from the administration, take any questions and take public testimony, and then take the bill aside for the further review. Welcome, Representative Hughes, and Stuart Cooper. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for hearing our bill today. I believe that you are all familiar with our program, but for anyone perhaps listening, it's the Alaska Regional Development Organization. So this is because of legislation that we extend the authorization, and we have changed it from the typical 3 years to 5 years. And one of the reasons we did that is because there's ongoing something that used to accompany this, and that is the fiscal note. There is zero funding for this program this year. And so I've had a number of people on that five just seemed good. So we took them to 2021. And also, we didn't work enough with the chair. I worked with her the last year authorization cycle. And had tightened things up as far as accountability and reporting. And we realized that if they're not receiving state funding, for them to go through that process of the reporting, it seemed a little bit overbearing. And so we had to, and their reporting and recording things also takes time, which takes money, and since you're not getting money from the state, we thought that was a wise way to go. And they also released the department in that regard, too. And as we're tightening the belt, and multiple ways, that seemed good as well. But they also need to report the requirements in place in the event there would be a state funding in the future. So the reporting requirements are subject to state funding. And I would just say that one of the things as we were looking back, we realized that 89% of the funding for the orders last year was not state funding, and so they were able to access other revenue sources and continue to work. And there really is a lot of good work. You know, this is about economic development and jobs, particularly important in the rural areas. And there's a really quick Copper Valley Association that assisted 7 businesses and startups, which is very good. Swansea, the South Municipal Conference, has what I think is a very exciting focus on manufacturing and being an opportunity to think of the chance I look forward to whatever that might be. And in the Winnipeg area, their newest project is involved harvesting and milling and assembling trusses for cold weather housing. And Anchorage, they've had a very successful, if I was talking to someone this morning, because this goes back when the business development is really focused on the airport to bring things out, must have been successful, as we all know. Down in the Kenai, they've had a focus on business retention and expansion effort, and they've also been a landlord for business incubator. So these are good things happening, and our reauthorization allows them to have that official designation, so if they can recognize and that can make a difference in as far as they're being able to carry out their activities. I think I've ever worked with foreign companies, and their cultures really like to know that there's official government acknowledgement of the entity. So we're going to step forward and hope that you will to master the process of the rest of the expire in the summer. So thank you very much. Thank you very much, Representative Hughes. And are there any questions for committee members? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just thank our program and passage of my previous information. So if my understanding that we don't pass this, they have no official designation and we can't buy from your other funds, is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, they could possibly apply for certain funds and still be able to carry on their business, but as I say, working with foreign entities might be a problem. If they're seeking federal funding, they also might be a problem. So I think it's important that they continue to have it as a community. Thank you very much, Senator Mind.
Thank you. So if I understand correctly, there is no state funding going towards this program.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
some reason, they state their own action or make this
work. Through the chair, Senator Meyer, first of all, funding the opportunity to ask that monitoring doesn't necessarily need to be state dollars, it's just $1,500 for that. Thank you very much. Next, thank you, Member Hughes. So next we'll go ahead and hear from the administration. Ms. Brittany Zielman-Taylor is here from the Division of Economic Development Director. Welcome. Thank you so much, Madam Chair. So for the record, my name is Brittany Zielman-Taylor. I'm the Director for the Division of Economic Development in the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. And I'm really here for questions, but also in support of the bill and moving this forward. Is that we, within this network of ARDER, often work within that for some statewide initiatives. We provide back and forth information and opportunities of grants and education and different opportunities that might be available at the federal level. And there's that designation that helps both at the federal level for funding opportunities and a federal designation for economic development organization. And then again, as well as AEDC is pointing out, we're working with more companies and other entities where that is important for them to have been better and have a state recognition. Thank you. Any questions or community members? Say that. Thank you very much. Next, go ahead and open the appellant testimony. I'd like to be taken by Robert Bowles from Southeast Conference. He's here. Thank you for your patience today.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm a member of the Senate and I'm Robert Bowles. I'm the Energy and Transportation Coordinator from Southeast Conference. So I'll be very brief. As the state's art program has demonstrated its value over the last 28 years, and also it's still a final agenda item, and it's not going to become a technique. I will say that the most fascinating techniques that the current program will deliver is the fact that we facilitate the public and private investment that will stimulate the economy and create jobs, which the state really needs. And this powerful mechanism and vehicle for economic development is what was the gas in the tank that we've proposed in previous years. But, well, we'll have further sources to raise that. Some regions still don't have that effort committed and perhaps sat away for a brief time, but for the most part, we're continuing to be near the fight in that effort. So, and as the last EPA report in October showed, the investment which these are yielding up about $70,000 a year, we collectively turned that into over $100 million of construction projects and about $286 million private investment of its own friends. So, it's been a very powerful economic development engine for the state, and I think that the status will help us continue that, especially since the other state over time managed to build up back to their agency. So, obviously, here for any questions there might be, but thank you for your continued support through the years and moving this forward.
Thank you,
Mayor.
That's a great question. Do you think that those interested in information on the ARDER would still be able to find that information easily, or do you think there'll be a loss of identity in a way without any more reporting? And I understand the reason not to have it, but I just wanted you to comment on that.
Madam Chair, I consider that for having a membership organization and having the communities there, there's a high level of transparency, and we have to report to our members. We have to know there's lots of reporting that goes on just in the course of business. I've been doing for some of these efforts, and they too, they're by and large, I think there's a high level of interaction and transparency that will allow for this type of questions to be answered.
Thank you, Senator Meyer.
Thank you. So, I just try to think, what other source of funds would it be for these businesses if the state doesn't
participate? In some cases, the industry itself will increase their participation where they can. as a result of disease that would be not for the private sector. The August tax makes it eligible now for the first time with the Department of Energy to put funds towards efforts in rural Alaska and the state for ARTRS specifically. And so it also allows the ARTRS to contact directly within the state if there's a need where there's a more efficient way of doing it. But really, I'll look at the private sector and the state. I don't think for ourselves this morning, we have a meeting on transportation. We have a system of education that we're taking a look at there. And around the table was mostly private sector interests that are participating in the Ventures Office Conference and continue to be.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Just from these businesses would be also providing for annual materials and the new building funding. So there are other opportunities for me in my head and in the state. So I guess where I'm going is that the state not funding this, the program sounds like you're still going to try it.
Five will be relative to many reasons, but yes, and then often the ARTRS will to for the legal to help put those things together. We know that we partnered with the Los Angeles National Project that got the benefit of businesses and communities, and that so with the SDA initiative with the power agenda. So, yes, it's very important to maintain this status for us. And we'll find ways to tighten our belts and work with the state to continue the mission.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
I'll start with
Steve. I'm going to ask a question about the mission anyway. Thank you
for having me. Just a question. I mean, I'm not saying we're so many planning issues here and we're in the past, but it is a big project and a big program. I hope they'll come back with the raising there.
We have a close relationship and we work with them now. We're trying to maintain that at whatever level we'll be able to. I think that as we work through our different projects and things that we have going on from the Division of Economic Development, that we'll also be in touch and we'll be maintaining those working relationships with the ARTRS as we go forward and able to tell the time when the reporting requirement will come back because there is hopefully a preparation down the road. I think as we work through that and what that looks like, there will still be a state designation. There's still going to have some sort of minimal vetting process and communication in order to maintain that designation, which will just continue on through the evolution of the
document.
I think it's right, and even we know the official designation, so whatever we can. Ask for reports we've asked for in the past, but that's reasonable. Should be some very basic reporting about what you don't need or what you're comfortable with your writer saying.
Can I share with some of your students? We would be fine trying to maintain a level of reporting, but I understand the sponsor's idea in trying to alleviate that both from the department standpoint and from the writer's standpoint. But if we don't provide that funding, then we have that requirement. So that was a desire that we would, within the division, figure out a way to probably construct a report that maybe uses something that the ARTRS are already putting together for other funding or other requirements that they have for their board or something like that, where it would not be a burden upon them. And then I also need to look at making sure that it's not much of a burden on the staff that I have in order to, pass
out the project. I understand, I appreciate what you're saying. It's a very basic reports and the information that they share with us. In return for official designation,
Madam Chair, yes, I didn't think that that would be acceptable for me to most of the others. Of course, I cannot speak for them individually, but because it would be something that would be fairly minimal, if you know, we currently constructed your annual report, we might want to, if that is kind of burdensome to them, given what happened in the spring, we might want to tell them more present that a bit. But I think that within the capacity of the division, we can find funds to maintain maybe a year in or annual report of some sort. Maybe that we could have a question work with them in order to ensure something that they're probably already producing in the funding at this point.
Thank you, Stephen. I too, that was my question. I too think there is tremendous value in knowing what sort of economic activity is going on across the state. And for somebody, for example, who might be new to the legislature, I know having that one place where you can go to get a sense of what kind of activity is happening across the state. I'm concerned that without knowing that, and in the future, if you're to look at funding artists, and there might be a learning curve or sort of a hurdle to get over to help understand just really how significant artists are. And there's such a wide array of sophistication of what some of the artists are doing. And certainly, if you're a business person in the community, most people know what a kind of powerhouse artist community and rural communities really are. Also, from what I've found in the community, which is maybe we can work together on this some sort of way to communicate that perhaps the department has, as you mentioned, in some reporting that you did to the legislature without any notice on the artist. And we can talk about that option. It would be like a thing, I'm sure. Thank you, Senator.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. This would be not fair question. The studio just asked me this not too long ago. Is there going to be like a state bank from the new marijuana businesses that start? That's kind of related to economic development, right? In our industry.
Through the chair, Senator Brown, I guess that is a potential growth industry. I do not have that knowledge on the bank, and we need to go back probably to Director Franklin and Director Hansel.
I should get a response. I don't know if we'll figure out a response to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Next, I'd like to invite Doug Griffin of the Southeast LS Municipal Conference to provide testimony. Excuse me, Southwest LS Municipal Conference.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. My name is Doug Griffin, the Executive Director of the Southwest LS Municipal Conference. Probably most often known as SLSC. I support the conduct of the member. I'd like to thank our community for sponsoring this legislation and extending the program for 5 years. I think those are both very good decisions to address. Swamp Seed has been around as long as we are. Our community started in 1988 as well. We are unique in our region that we represent three different regions as defined by the last minute corporations, the Cognac region, the Alley region, so on, and of course the region representing our first state corporation. So we're pretty large. We have about 25% of the tribes in our region. And again, because of being an economy, we have applied for and been granted a 5-year designation with the U.S. Department of Commerce as the newest step the manufacturers teaching partnership for LASTA. And we developed this refugees mission to focus initially on people processing and seeing if they can introduce the concepts that can provide greater value and additional higher paid employment in this process industry.
Thank you.